This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Weekly Squeak, your weekly geeky squeak with me, your host, as always, Chris Chinchilla. This week I have one interview, the first of many of post-CES interviews. This is with Tactifon, an Italian hardware company who are making quite an intriguing a controller that can be used for a variety of different use cases, as you will hear in the interview. But first, let's get stuck in with my links for the week. I have quite a little interesting collection this week. The first is from The Guardian, from Charlotte Higgins. This is called A Scandal in Oxford, The Curious Case of the Stolen Gospel. Anything that involves religious history and Oxford and theft is always interesting. Sounds like an episode of Morse. In fact, that is mentioned in the article, unsurprisingly. This is a story that is still not completely proven, so maybe I should add allegedly to everything I say, although I am quoting from The Guardian, so I'm guessing it's not me who's going to get into any problems, of a sort of circle of academics in a very particular niche space who have been maybe selling very valuable artifacts to religious societies, mostly funded by, and America has a lot of these kind of religious societies funded by big companies. And there is one in particular that is mentioned here, who I think run a hardware store chain, who have been buying artifacts, missing sections of the Bible, missing Gospels, et cetera, when maybe they weren't for sale. And it always seems strange that you just think of academics as being like dusty people in a dark room and not really doing this sort of thing. But I guess the temptation is always there. If you have things that are very valuable and someone is willing to pay for them, then there is always going to be the temptation. And this is covering the story of a very high-profile academic in his field who has maybe, allegedly, possibly, probably been doing just this and uncovering the trail that leads to that evidence. Yes, it's like a TV show episode. Quite fascinating. Have a read if this tickles any of your fancies. Next, an article switching to board gaming on Quillette from Jonathan Kay. The article is entitled Goa Gods, Gandhi, and Greed, Lessons in Colonialism from Four Board Games. This is a report back from Gen Con recently, but it's not really about Gen Con. It's about board games that abstract away concepts that maybe we should be a little bit more attached to, shall we say. I have played, I don't think the game is mentioned in this article, but I have played one that's somewhat similar, Endeavor. And there is a concept of slavery Endeavor, and you have cubes that represent slavery. But the interesting thing with Endeavor is you are generally encouraged not to support slavery. And if you use slavery too much, then it's actually a negative in the game. So that's a slightly different treatment of the idea. But in this post, and interestingly, I tried to get some discussion around this and didn't really get anything that wasn't from white dudes talking about it. It would have been interesting to get some opinions from the people that these sorts of games maybe are more directly affecting using the history and sometimes bloody history of. And the post details a couple of games that deal with the issues in different ways. from a fairly abstract economical way, maybe to ways that are not abstract enough, considering that the history behind the levels of abstraction, and some that kind of turn the idea on its head and treat it in a way that you wouldn't expect. So, interesting post. This would be something I would like to hear from people. So you can find out how to get in touch with me and the show on christianschiller.com/contact. My Facebook page or on Twitter or something like that would be a great place to get discussion going. I'd love to hear from you. Have a read of the article and then let me know. Another gaming-related article, Dungeons & Dragons, pops its head up several times in my reading these days now. This is on Polygon. Again, I think I've quoted from this blog quite a few times. From Charlie Hall. This is covering how Dungeons & Dragons, or more specifically Wizards of the Coast, sort of, now has kind of DLC for Dungeons & Dragons. I don't necessarily know if this is new as an idea. People have had fan-created contributions to Dungeons & Dragons for some time, but maybe the way it's been formalized is new, and now we have a term for it from the video game industry that seems familiar. So, Dungeons & Dragons has kind of different editions. You have the SRD, the system reference document, where it lists kind of what is public domain, and then everything else is issued under its own different licenses. And if you look back in time, this was also handled in a slightly similar way with the D20 versions of the game, and that's where Pathfinder came from, and I'm not entirely sure where that stands right now, but this has happened before, kind of open licensing of core rules and mechanics. And then you have things like One Bookshelf and the Dungeon Masters Guild, where players can add their own content and charge what they like for it. And as long as they don't step into the kind of copyright-protected areas of content too much, that's generally fine with everybody involved. In fact, if you think of the SaaS world, this is a fairly standard play. You leave gaps in your core product, so people fill those gaps. They make money, and then you also shave a percentage of profits off of them making money. So it's not an unusual idea to try. And this is certainly something I want to try myself in the next few months of contributing some content to places like this. I'd be interested to know what other games have similar ideas to. More formal, like every game, of course, you can write your own content, but this kind of more formal place of selling content. And some of it does get picked up in Dragon Magazine, at cons, by Wizards of the Coast themselves, etc., etc. So it's an interesting pathway into becoming a roleplay writer anyway. I haven't done any tech articles yet, so now it's time for two before the interview. This first one is from Tech Beacon, from Joe Colantonio. This is an article rounding up 10 open source API testing tools. Postman has become very popular. Sometimes I'm slightly worried by Postman because it's a proprietary company, it's a proprietary software, but people have become so reliant on it. I use something called Paw, which I like because it's Mac native, but it's still proprietary, it's still closed source, so it's not necessarily any better than using Postman. And this article goes through a few alternatives to that that are not proprietary and are not commercial that you might want to look into. Although, strangely, Postman is mentioned on the article, but anyway. But there's 10 others you could think of, including the intriguingly titled Postwoman, and some frameworks for languages specifically that you might have encountered before, and many others. So if you're into API testing, have a read, have a try. Let me know what worked for you. ChristianGillett.com/contact. And finally, a post from the MRSys blog from Daniel. Now I'm going to murder this surname. Here we go. Sipsjack, I think, something like that. Anyway, I can read the title of the article. It is How to Become a Modern Magician, Productivity Tips for Devs on macOS. This covers some tooling I hadn't heard of, actually, on macOS. Tools like HyperKey and Hammerspoon, two tools you can use to automate all sorts of key bindings and processes on your Mac. I guess beyond Automator, I haven't dug into this in any great detail yet, or I suppose more aimed at developers. Somewhere between Automator and Bash scripts, I guess. And actually, the Mac has always been very good at automating aspects of it. And even now with iOS, with the Shortcuts app and workflows before that, Apple's operating systems have generally been very good at automating at all sorts of levels, from the user-friendly visual way right down to command line tools and things like that. I'd like to try some of these. There's a few here that seem very appealing, especially the ability to kind of tie it to a particular key combination and trigger a whole bunch of things. Was quite fascinating. I will try this myself and maybe have a report back on that in the near future. But if any of this appeals to you in the meantime, go and have a look and have a try and let me know how you got on. And now my interview with Tactifon, talking about their gesture recognition Bluetooth connected controller thing. Enjoy.
My name is Nadia, and I'm the business developer of the Tactigol. And I briefly summarize the story of our company, because we were born in 2014, but the Tactigol is a newborn brand. We started working to this project 2 years ago. And in the beginning, we started with our first product, which is Tactigol One, and it is a motion sensor with the IMU unit on board that you can program and you can use for different applications according to your software and according to the commands you establish. Tactigol One was the basis to develop a new product with the aim of solving the problem of a often difficult relationship man-machine. In fact, the controller has Tactigol One as a heart system. So the first product has been boxed to find out a new form factor for a gesture controller, to become a gesture controller, meaning that it's not something that you have to hold in your hands, but it's something that grips on your hand and leaves hand and finger free to move in a very natural way.
Yeah, let's actually talk about the design. The images on the website are pretty clear. It looks very familiar. I'm trying to think of things that it compares to, but it's like a handle maybe that you might have on a pot or a cup. Yeah, and it sits in the groove between your thumb and kind of the back of the hand. So yeah, you have all your fingers free. As far as I could see, there are some buttons as well on the inside. But then you have your whole hand free, and it connects by Bluetooth, so you don't have any cables either. But what are the kinds of motions that are possible?
We came back from CES, you know, and there we presented our new software Gear, gesture analysis and recognition. Up to now we can recognize 16 gestures, going from the very easy one, up, down, right, left, two shapes like square, circle, and we can also do a combination of motion of right hand and left hand if you wear, for instance, two Tactigol skins. And this is the new version that has artificial intelligence on board, because thanks to this, to the neural network, we can recognize a gesture with high accuracy, even if it's done by different people. Because, you know, a simple up gesture done by me can be slower that if you do it, for instance, or it can have a specific angulation, a motion towards right, towards left, and so on. So the aim of using the artificial intelligence here is to do training to the gesture controller so that he can recognize and transmit gesture with accuracy, with high accuracy. To explain you this, we prepared a demo we had in the exhibition with a robotic arm. And the training was done on me. So before coming to the show, I trained the robot through some simple gestures, so through a square, a circle, and a pitch up down to move in a certain position or to do certain action, like picking up a box or throw it in a basket. And so when we were to the show and unboxed the robot, we had simply to connect it and to use, because this procedure has saved time and there was no need of reprogramming the robot arm, because we moved. So if we can see this in an industrial context, this can solve the problem of time-consuming procedure when we have to reprogram a robot. Or, for instance, in laboratory researches, if they have the so-called cobots and they have to move it, to move them from one place to another, it will allow to save time and no need of high technological skill to program.
And I mean, actually, you look down the specifications for the device.
And
let's just setting aside the artificial intelligence aspect at the moment, which is very interesting in itself, but you have Arduino compatibility, Bluetooth low energy, which is also very common. You have the ability for people to load in their own kind of their own configurations with whatever sort of programming language they want to use, multiple device compatibility, Raspberry Pi compatibility. There's a lot here that would appeal to, and the flexibility appeals, I think, a lot to the kind of hacker community. But I'm guessing from the AI component that this is probably reasonably expensive, and I'm guessing more aimed at industrial users and business users, but maybe I'm guessing wrong.
So when we started our project, we had in mind a specific target that were makers. So those people who love technology, love coding, and love do on their own. And we wanted to give them the possibility to create their own applications with movement in an easy way. In fact, you should know that our past context, we are skilled in motion detection and gesture recognition, because in the previous years, our first product line was and is still today a line of product to collect data in environmental and structural monitoring. So landslides or inclination or still rotation and so on. So what we call the geotechnical monitoring. The fact was that this kind of monitoring was a very niche market. So we wanted to reach also the B2C market. And in order to do this, we had to simplify all the things. So we put all our knowledge in the background of the product and left it with SDK Arduino, so that even young learners, from young learners to most skilled software developer, can use it. And you are right when you said that there are also industrial sector involved, because as I told you before, we started with makers target, But as far as the project went onwards, and we passed last year all around the world in exhibitions and conferences in order to talk and present Tatigon and Tatigon skin to collect feedback from people. And we met also important companies with which we are now started a cooperation in order to develop a vertical solution for the market. So, for instance, to give you a couple of examples, in robotics, our partnership is with the Italian company Comau, which is part of Fiat Chrysler group, and we are now developing the control of their cobot Edo, so an educative cobot. And we have worked with Nokia and Orange in France last year on the occasion of the 5G presentation, because the CEO of Orange wanted to show the speed and the real-time feature of the 5G, controlling a camera. The CEO was placed in Paris, and this camera was placed in Marseille, so 700 kilometers far away. And through our Tatigon skin, so our gesture controller, he wore it on his hand and controlled, showed the real-time control through our device and through the 5G. So these are some of the most important use cases we have now developed, but we have still some open cooperation onwards, that are going onwards.
And do you think there might be a more simple model maybe for that initial maker user group as well, or that's probably a small market, so you probably leave it behind now?
No, we do not want to leave this market behind. We are proceeding in parallel, let's say. So Tatigon One is still on sale since 2 years on our website. Tatigon Skin, the gesture controller, is the newest product, and we will go now. It is on sale as a developer kit, so meaning we work with industrial partners or developers who want to develop a specific application. So the developer kit has the device itself with all SDK and libraries to develop, and also our support, of course. And we will come on the market with the gesture controller in the next few months.
So the one I'm seeing on the website, the grip like device, that's the new one or the old one?
The grip is the new one. Okay. So it's Tatigon Skin. The first of this family, the first product of this family is called
Tatigon.
Oh,
I see. Yeah, that's the board. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. That makes sense. And just the AI aspect. I mean, you're a European company. We love to talk privacy and security in Europe. The artificial intelligence aspect, is that on device or is that in cloud?
In cloud, so it's our software, let's say, the algorithm on the device has specific features of artificial intelligence.
Okay. So the device connects to the internet itself, or through a phone, or something like that, or through a device.
No, the device connects Bluetooth with any device with Bluetooth. So we can go from robotic arms to PC, tablet, or smartphone. It's true that we can expand this product with Wi-Fi, for instance, or GPS, or any other kind of feature. We should find an application in order to do this.
And so looking at the Tacticon 1 for a minute, what sorts of use cases did people end up coming up with?
They were purchased, for instance, by universities, and they tried to they started projects related to motion detections for robotics, so still again educational. But as far as I know, other customers who purchased this product has no shared with us their project. The most sold application is in fitness, because we used this sensor to trace the strength and the speed during the performance. And this enables, for instance, trainer to understand how the training is proceeding and which aspects have to be changed or improved through a software.
And so what was the feedback you've had at all the various events the past few months? I mean, specifically CES, which is, despite some of the products that are displayed, is largely meant for consumers, but this is not necessarily a consumer device. So what was the kind of feedback you got?
So the feedback in general is positive, especially for the particular form factor. And what we actually saw at CES is that others are going on the same path as we are already now, no? So if this means that this is a bad thing, but also a good thing, it means that there is market. Okay, so there is a request from the market, and there is also space on the market for a solution like this. People like, in general, the fact not to grip a device, so the possibility to wear it and feel free. And they like also its flexibility, in the sense that you can use one device and change application, because now we have developed some sketches in our headquarters, and if you go for instance on YouTube, you can see some videos of the applications we created here in our headquarters. And for a final user, the aim is to keep it simple, so they can download these sketches from our marketplace and install on Tacticon skin and use the device as is. So we pre-scheduled commands, so preset. But we can also do the possibility of programming, so two levels of usage, and changing the application means that you install a new sketch on the device, so you can go from gaming applications to domestic, or to robotic control or 3D printer menu navigation, PowerPoint, presentation management, and so on.
I like the fact you've gone from industrial applications to PowerPoint.
this is possible. So we, yes, it seems ridiculous, but if you develop a product with a 360 degree so of ideas, so to give it both in the business and in the everyday life. Yeah. So you
also have a really interesting example of a VR game here as well, which is quite interesting. Yeah. I mean, VR kits are expensive at the moment anyway, and this is nice because it feels quite natural. You can do whatever you want with your hands. I mean, in the image, the guy is gripping like he's driving a car, but he doesn't actually have to, of course. The controller doesn't need that. It's him doing it because he wants to, which is interesting, you know.
Yeah.
So it's up to you what you do with your hand. Yeah. Yes. It's kind of interesting like that.
Yes, exactly. Because for instance, you can establish to do like the guy in the picture, or you can establish that if you turn your hand right, then the car turns right. So it's up on the program and how you choose to use your gesture.
Yeah, which is nice. I like that. Yeah, the freedom thing is quite interesting. Just one other question on the hardware, bearing in mind the probably potential industrial use. What's its resistance? Is it water resistant? What kind of heat resistance does it have? That sort of thing.
The distance.
No, resistance. So waterproof, heat, etc.
This is a bit technical question. I have to check.
That's all right.
If you want to scan that, sorry.
I'd at least hope that the waterproof is probably
water is not electronic boards and water
exactly. So I mean, this is obviously still in development right now, but what's the main plan for the next 6 months or so?
Yeah, so actually the product is, let's say, ready, because it's its final prototype. So what we are now going to do, apart from finding partners for application development, we are going to crowdfunding in the next few weeks, in the next weeks, not for product development in this case, for final stage. So this is also the main difference we have with others, maybe on platforms like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, because the product really exists and it has been tried also, it has been used, and there are use cases. What we now need is the final push to go on the market, so final engineering of the product and production. This is our idea, and of course we will proceed with our marketing activities and search for partners, but also ventures, who knows, that want to invest in our development and our final going on the market with tactical scheme.
Do you have much knowledge, I suppose, probably more from research, of industrial type devices being successful on Kickstarter? My own main experience is usually just as a consumer, but I just wondered if you've seen many examples of that.
Well, in the specific, I cannot reply you in this moment. I know that what we want to reach is not a very high, I can say, goal. So if it comes, that's good. Okay, but what we want to reach is the basis to proceed further on with final engineering and go on the market, because we also need feedback from usage, in order to correct the product and proceed with optimization. So it's important after more than 1 year that we can find out a result.
And out of all the events you've done and people you've seen trying the device and things like that, what's been the most interesting and surprising use case you've seen people try with the Tacticon?
So if we speak of common people in everyday life, absolutely the gaming is the most successful application. Also because it's very easy. So we interfaced our Tacticon skin with the most common games now. So Minecraft, Bravalla, Real Flight and Asphalt 9. So in this particular case, Asphalt 9 was the demo we had in the exhibitions, and it was very easy for people to use it because with a simple movement of your wrist, you guided the car. So you controlled the car going right, left. And with and what I haven't told you is that the device has also four keys on the back. Yeah, the four keys corresponding to your finger. So this gives commands, so you can add commands to gesture. So this, and the second most requested application is the PowerPoint, so the slide management. Yes. And the third, the robotic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the robot sounds fun. The PowerPoint's a bit depressing, but yeah.
But I don't know. It's something that the idea that you are free and you can impress your audience is something that moves the interest of people towards this application, in my opinion.
And when roughly do you think the Kickstarter will start so people can keep an eye open for it?
So this is a good because we are now in the final preparation of all the background of this campaign. So we need to targetize our audience and to find out exactly where we have to stress. So this is the final part. Once we are ready with this, we want to start, but actually we do not want to wait too much.
Yeah, I saw there's a mailing list if people want to sign up for it. So that's the best place to get information. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We to all those who subscribe, we release monthly updates of our activity. We release the novelties and what's new on the software, on new applications and so on. So everyone is informed.
Brilliant. Okay. Thank you very much for that. I have signed up to the mailing list. I could imagine this being really good fun for making music as well, actually.
You're right, because in a couple of exhibitions it happened to me to speak to some players and guitar players in particular, and they find it very interesting because it is quite equal to the finger movement.
A bass guitar has four strings, and there's been instruments like this in the past, the theremin and some others. So the thought of using gesture for music is not alien to people. I've seen some really interesting demos of that kind of thing. It would be, it's this ability to make music in new ways. You know, we have this sorts of gesture technology now. We can make different sorts of music that weren't possible before because of it, and get notes and melodies that we couldn't make before. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
That was my interview with Tacticon. I hope you enjoyed that. So I have a few articles and podcast episodes coming up. We have the next episode of the Write the Docs podcast recording this Sunday. So that should be out about the same time as the next episode of Weekly Squeak next week. I have a few articles coming up soon as well. My coverage of Kong, featuring the interview I did with Kong a few months back. Some post-CS coverage. All sorts of things, actually. Go and have a look at kristenschiller.com/writing. I am continuing to do more editing of board game manuals. If that's something you'd like me to help you with, then please do let me know. And events. I will be at Sustain Summit and FOSDEM at the end of January. Then after that, I'll be heading to Manchester for a little bit. Not for any particular event, just to check the place out. So if you are in Manchester, I would love to meet, love to say hi. And shortly after that, I am heading to Megacom in Jerusalem to give a documentation, testing and automation talk. So maybe see you at some of those. Until next time, if you have been, thank you very much for listening. Please share, rate, review wherever you heard the show. And I will talk to you again next week.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.